So we've been almost like driving from difficult question to the next, trying to really unravel those things that keeps people awake at night. Now, you might not think that these things are so important, but let me tell you what, these are the things that will hit you the hardest in life. If you can't put your head spiritually around these things, these are the essence of life. These are the questions that comes up when people question whether God even exists. Many people will serve God all their life. There's just someone I think of. It's a very sad story in the town when I grew up. This lady lost her daughter on her first day to university because of a car accident. Broke my heart, broke the heart of the whole town. And she just turned away from God. Never in her life, in her devotion to God, was there a place, was there a box called suffering. There was no such box. It didn't exist. And so when it happened, when it knocked at her daughter, it knocked her out of her faith. This is so important for you. Why isn't life fair? If you understand it, you will be well prepared for what is coming in life. The other questions we asked is, what is the point of life? Will I make it? How do I experience deep joy? These are the things. It's the core of human existence. And so we stop at it at this time of the year because you know what? It's the start of a new year. And I want you guys to do great this year. I want you to excel where you are. And let me tell you what, you will have your quota of trials in your life, and I will have mine. Isn't that true? But let me just go to the end quickly and just say this for a start. May you be found with Christ next to you when the storm is raging. And may you stand until it's done. Amen? That's where I would like to take us today. Solomon, he continues. Ecclesiastes 4. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of the oppressed. And they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors, there was power. And there was no one to comfort them. And I thought the dead were already dead more fortunate than the living who are still alive. It's not the first time he's saying this. Remember, he said it about just in the previous sermon. He said the same thing, different verse. He said it's better for a baby to be born dead than to face this life. This man was very depressed because he was trying to discover life without God, trying to walk into these different rooms and taste life, see if he can squeeze the juice out of life. And all he wanted to say is to say, this is the key to life and I am satisfied, but he never got there. He just said, this is vanity. And now, in this sermon, mostly we're going to be parked in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, most of it, but we're going to jump around as well. And the thing he's actually doing at this stage, remember the beginning he was asking, what's the point of life? Then he moved on, he tried to find joy, and there's different things he did. He built like a whole city, and his house took 14 years to build. He had 900 wives, found that. And then he said, life is empty, there's still no joy. What he's doing now is he's basically assessing life, he's taking life to the courtroom, and he's asking, is life fair? This is the question he's asking. And he comes to the conclusion that life is not fair. But if you've got your notebook here today, if we can go to slide number 3, please. I want to take you to 3 different sections in this sermon. The one is just the reality that life is unfair. I'm going to show you what Solomon discovered, all right? Then we're going to move on and we're quickly going to see the reasons for this injustice, this unfairness. Why is it here? And then the most important point of all is, what should I do in the meanwhile? But number 3 or C won't make any sense to you unless you understand the first two, especially the second one. This is where we're going tonight, is if you can arrange your heart, your spirit, to stand strong in the midst of injustice, in the midst of a terrible storm. If you can do that or know more about it tonight, then I've succeeded. All right, it's talking about your posture spiritually in difficult times. Are you ready? Okay, let's do this. Number one, life is unfair. The first thing that he brings out is he says that criminals goes unpunished. Don't we know that? It's not just in our country and it's not just in our age. People like to say, oh, die wereld vandag. Nee, nie die wereld vandag, die wereld nog altijd. All right? There was a time when the world was so wicked that they burned little children, and as their flesh got burned, they smiled like this and they say, see, they're enjoying it. The earth was so wicked that God wiped everything of the earth except for Noah and his family. Dis nie eers die wêreld nou nie. Dis rof, but let me tell you what, it's been that a long way. For a very long time. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. People think and they believe they can do what they want and get away without being punished, right? We know it. We're just pointing out. This is 3,000 years ago, all right? It's like this man, you know, summarizing our lives. The oppressed are unhelped, number two. We're going fast. And behold the tears of the oppressed, and no one even comforted them. Isn't that bad? Sad? You know what? More than a million believers, more than a million Christians are being martyred every year in the world just for loving Jesus more than anything else. And about a million will die for it. Is that fair? No, it's not. Life is not fair. It's terrible. Politicians are unethical. How's that? 3,000 years ago. There's an evil that I've seen under the sun, as it were an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places. The only thing it's saying, the message actually says it the best, because we don't use the word folly anymore. It says stupid people are placed in positions of power. That's exactly what the scripture means. Why? It doesn't make sense. There's wise people that's headmasters of schools. There's wise people that's looking after orphans with the capacity to lead. Why are they not ruling? Why are they not in those places? You know why? Because life is not fair. Not a good start to a sermon, eh? Don't run out. It's going to get better. Number four. No, it's first getting worse. Good people are unrewarded. Check this out. There's a vanity that takes place on the earth that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. What he's saying is the righteous person, the one who loves God and gives his life to serve God, sometimes they get what the evil person deserves, and sometimes the evil person gets what the righteous person deserves in this world. It's an injustice. It's not fair. But I just want to stop for a moment, and I just want to also draw an encouragement out of this. Who of you are a small group leader or would love to be one day? Hands up. Okay, a whole lot of you. The rest of you maybe enjoy small group, or you maybe just too shy to put up your hand. But let me tell you what, there's a pressure on a spiritual leader that you must fix everything in someone else's life, and you can never do it. Because you can't fix the broken world. It will be fixed when he comes back. The only thing we can do is to love people and be there for them while injustice often just rages over them. There's court cases in this world that will not be resolved in the right way. That's just how it is. There's cases in this world where a man will kill an old lady for the 10 rand that she carries in her purse. Is that right? It is terribly wrong. But it happens. Solomon is pointing it out for us. But let me also just comment something about this, which connects to some of the later points as well. But I'll just tell you this. You will know, if it's not you yourself, you will know someone that's been extremely wronged when it comes to just the way life unfolded. And let me tell you what, it will take you to the end barrier of your faith, if you have faith. This will take you. You will look for God. You will cry. And it will take you to the place where the boundary of your faith lies. And there's a chance that the enemy can bump you over and you never return. That's what happened to the lady in my hometown. if you don't have a box to deal with this. So it's very good. God knows exactly what He's doing. He's putting this in the Bible and He's leading us to understand this world. Why is it important to understand this? Because there's another world coming that will never end. And this only makes sense in the light of the other one. All right? But don't lose me tonight here. Number five, capable people are unsuccessful. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift. The fastest runner don't always win. Nor the battle to the strong. Nor the bread to the wise. Nor the riches to the intelligent. Nor favor to those with knowledge. But time and chance happen to them all. For a man does not know his time, like a fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. An evil time suddenly falls upon you when you are not prepared for it. And it will knock you down. Are you with me? If you are prepared for this, an evil time will come, a time of where stuff is unfair, but you know what? You will be prepared. All right? You will have your spiritual trellis door up. You'll have your electric fence on, and you will be ready. The storm will still come, but you will be ready. And so tonight is not about avoiding storms. It's about getting you in the right position to stand when it comes. Amen? How many of you wish, I don't have to put up your hand, but I just know it's the truth, that you think, if I can only go back to that one situation, if I only knew better, I wish I can have it over. You can't have it over. You can maybe go back and apologize if that's the type of case you're dealing with, or you can prepare now for what is ahead of you. All right? And so God's grace works like this. He will even order what happened in your past when you were not ready for it. He will order those things to come and serve you and turn out for your good. But it won't happen again. Amen? There's just the five of those things together. If you quickly want to just see if you are on par with me with your book. The second thing, what is the reasons for injustice? Why? Just check out that verse. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. That doesn't fit. Check my water. I've had some wonderful things in my glasses before. At one time I had a bar one floating. I'm not lying. At the moment I've got grapes. They're very good. Thank you, hosting team. I'm looking forward to next week. Maybe a mango or something. The question is not whether life is unfair or not, whether bad things happen to good people. The question is, how does it fit? If God is good and righteous, He's always right. If God is righteous and kind, how does it fit? That's a good question. So let's just explore this and see where we get. What are the reasons for injustice? Why is this world the way it is? Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Paul writes, he says, "I'm captive to the law of sin." Sin was birthed into mankind. Now, let me just, this is something we've got a saying in Afrikaans, is gebore in sonde, and sometimes we lose the magnitude of this. Let me just paint a picture for you how powerful and depressing this is. Because of Adam and Eve, disobeyed God, something died that day, our spirits. And every human being since then is born with what you can call the fabric of sin or the download of sin. All the ingredients for sin, you were born with it. Can you believe that? The implications of that is humongous. Can I just say it in a very, can I say it in a rude way, just to make the point? Hanu here is my friend. Hanu was born even though God loved him and wanted to call him out of it, but he was born, set up by the evil one with, if situations just clicked the right way, he was born with the ability to be a murderer. And every one of us is the same boat. You didn't give it a piece of sin. It's in your fabric, the whole lot, the ingredients is there. You have the ability, it sounds, it's negatively put, you have the ability to mess up your life from A to Z and those around you. It was birthed into you. It just comes. It's in you. It's a very, very bad thing to try and get your head around. You were born with the ability, and the enemy would like to set you up to create a massive addiction, destroy your whole life. You were born with the ability to destroy one relationship after another. It's in us, it's in you, it's in me. It's a very difficult thing to think honestly about. Can you understand, if we can go to the next slide, why the world looks like this? This is normal for us, guys, as humans. This is normal. This is who we were set out to be. If a Savior could come and touch you, the curse of this can be broken over your life. You can stand up and you can be free forever. And that's what God is doing here. But somewhere, someone has told us that we are good. That's what the evolution says. You know, actually you are good. Inherently you are good. It's a terrible lie. You don't make the right decision if you've got an option. All right? We are born, we are set up for failure unless the Savior comes. Sin was birthed into mankind. If that weighs heavy on you, if you're even mad at me about it, you know what? It's good. It should weigh heavy on you and me. Because let me, we're not going into tonight, but just fathom how amazing His grace must be. And on a spirit level, when it comes to your spiritual DNA, He sticks His hand into your spirit and He uproots this death. And He gives you the ability to love, to care, to restore even what you've broken in your past. To break free from that addiction. To break free from whatever you were caught in. With His hand, it is possible. The second thing is the love factor. God gives us the freedom to choose. This is a very interesting topic. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today to go after gods that you have not known. All right? Don't lose me here. The only way I can see whether you love me is if you have the ability to choose otherwise. Are you with me? Guys, are you with me? Yeah? If you have an option not to love me, you have an option to love me. If you have no option, it's not love, it's brute force. Alright? The only way I know my wife loves me is because when I asked her, she had the opportunity to say, you know what, I don't feel the same way about this. Which would be a terrible day after all the picnic stuff I've bought. Nee, lovey. Het ik iets verkeerd gesê, ek word so aangekyk. So 'n bietjie Terminator gemeng met Nacho Libre. Here's the thing. It's very easy to love stuff. Because if you make it or you buy it, it must be around you. You can make a pot out of clay, and maybe you love that pot because you leave your boyfriend for the pot if you're really weird, all right? No, I want to spend time with a pot tonight, all right? Yeah, you do that, okay? And go and see one of the good counselors in church. Well, but that pot cannot love you. It can only go where you take it. We are not pots. He wants us to choose Him. You have the ability to walk out of that door right now, speaking about your spirit, all right? And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And this is the great and the first commandment. Choose me. Let me touch you. Let me redeem you. There's two ways God can extinguish and bomb sin out of this world. Two ways. The first will be just to take it away. You know what will happen? We all will die instantly. Even though you are redeemed, you are still sinful. You know it. The blood of Christ covers you. But if God has to remove sin right now, nothing will survive. You think if that plant blows up, it's going to leave a hole? Wait until God puts His hand in and removes sin out of this world. It will tear this world apart. Everyone will die instantly. It'll be quick. Why is He waiting in this world of evil? I told this story this morning. I've got a whiteboard at home. Everyone, all the leaders in church know I like my whiteboard. And I've got a circle in that whiteboard. And in the middle of the circle is all the new people I met at the rugby club this year. I'm not sure if they know God or not. And their names are in the middle. And then there's some names on the outside. Rian, that is some of the guys at the rugby club that should be praying for them. And every time when I walk into my room, I put my hand on that circle and say, Lord, sometimes I just call their names. It's going to take an hour to pray for everyone. But as I'm praying for them, He's waiting. If one more son can come home, He will wait. Right now, He's waiting. He's waiting because He wants sons and daughters. He can end the whole world now. But if we can endure, we can lead more people to Him in this world. And so Scripture is clear. God does not condone this, what's going on in this world. But for the sake of you and me, He will linger that more may come to Him. Put me on a cross, Lord. Let them rather hit me. Let injustice happen against me. But let one more soul come to you. What about your dad and mom? I don't know. Are you praying for them? Do they know God? What if God rips sin? All of us die right now. What if God is waiting for your mom and dad to turn? What if you're waiting for your kids? I don't know. All of us that well. But there's 20 names on my whiteboard. I say, Lord, just if you have to, another year. Can't wait for you to come, but another year. I'll deal with sickness. I'll deal with death. I'll deal with broken cars. I'll go and live in the field, Lord. But if they can just see you. The other thing God can do is He can take away our freedom to choose. He can leave us here, but He can make pots out of us. So the way He puts us, we are like, you know, little machines, and we just can't wrong one another. And that will take love out of it. But He won't do it because He's producing a race of individuals that is tested to be faithful no matter what. Can I just illustrate it in a picture? Can I have you guys, please? The rest of you, can you guys come on your knees? Just imagine this from heaven. Okay, this is what's... Now, I lost my Bron. Thank you, Lord, for healing in that leg. Amen. So this is heaven looking at the great showdown way back in Daniel's time. And everyone says, you will bow before this king. And then Daniel's friends, they want to bow. And they say, no way. I'm standing up. The whole is heaven. It's looking like, wow, look at them. They're not bowing. There's a trial. They're probably going to die now. And they know it. We're not bowing here. That's why you're not a pot. So that heaven can look down and see when everyone unjustly have to bow down, you stand up and say, I'm not bowing here. kill me. That's what's happening around the world every day. Right, you guys can sit down. God once tested and tried individuals to rise up no matter what the circumstances. No, we don't do church anymore because, you know what, I know we're backsliding a bit, but the kids must go to bed. You know what? Can't help you. Sorry. When the trials come, you will be, boom! I'm being honest here. No, you know what? I can't help that person in need will be faithful. No reasons. You know what? When the trials come, you are gone. You're made to rise up. I'm being honest with you guys. Is that okay? I'm being honest with you guys today. I'm not, you know, putting yinning on your mom. Just being a raw honest. It's by still, so it gives us freedom of choice. You know when injustice just happens, falls on you in Sasol or wherever you are, and you rise up and you do the right thing anyway, you know what? The grace of God bursts into that situation like a thunderbolt. People look at you and they turn their hearts to Jesus. I want to tell you, there was one night, I didn't put this in my notes, but I just want to tell you how this worked. The night when I cried the most because people of injustice happening against me was one night we were on a sport tour and some of the guys had the bar up gevat and they didn't pizza up gevat, it was anhappe. And they just gathered the people and they were mad because in my second year, I was elected as a leader in the course. Normally it only happens in your third year, but God just quickened. And these guys were so bitter about me. And when they had enough, they just called everyone. They started to give it to me in the assembly of everyone, the whole race. Yo, you shouldn't be this leader. And you know what? We have no respect for you. And I stood like this. No one stood up for me in the whole place that day. There were some young believers, but they were very young. I went out and I cried. That was probably the saddest night of my life. And one of the guys that was a leader in the res saw what was happening. He came to me and he said, I want to give my life to Jesus now. And we took him to the dam and he was baptized. His name is Loki Fenter. He's a leader in our church. He preaches, teaches everything. When you stand in the midst of being wrong, heaven thunders into that situation. Stuff shifts. So God will not take away our ability to choose. And in this unjust world, you will have the opportunity to stand. And maybe you're going to have to cry afterwards because it was going to break you. I'm telling you, something is shifting. It gives us the freedom to choose. Number three, why is there injustice in this world? Why is this world the way it is? You know what? It's important to know that judgment is coming. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there's a time for every matter and every work. All right? Now, here's the thing. There's a time for judgment and there's a time for patience. All right? And just because God's time for judgment and His time for patience does not align with us, it doesn't mean He's not aware of everything happening in this world. If God was a bookkeeper, right, His books are going to be balanced. Are you with me? This is just a time of patience. So it's very important to understand this, all right? That He's not forgotten about us or about anything that happened to that little girl, to that person, or to that grandparent. He's not forgotten, all right? Maybe God is saying tonight, I'm patient and I'm waiting because there's some names written on boards. There's some people being prayed for every night. There's nations being prayed for. I'm just holding back because I'm getting more sons and daughters. Are you with me? God is amazing and good. I just want to make this point. This is a difficult thing to understand, and sometimes it needs an hour to talk through, but let me just drop it and confuse you maybe. Does God use sin or not? Can someone answer me? Who says no? Who says yes? Okay. What's the greatest sin of all time? Mag jy antwoord nie. What's the greatest sin of all time in the history of the world? Anyone? One occasion. when they took the perfect Savior, never sinned, and beat him up, nailed him to a tree, spit on him, blasphemed, mocked him. The greatest sin of all time has worked for my salvation today. Everything that happens in your life where you feel like the world has run over you like a truck, let me tell you what, He will work it also for your favor. If you stay focused on Him and if you stand, He will work every sin for you, including the worst one of all, the cross. Amen? Get your head around that. This is amazing. Number three. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. He's waiting. And therefore, He exalts Himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. And blessed are those who wait for Him. In this situation, you can just stand up. Get someone in your small group. Say, stand next to me. Just hold me up straight because I'm about to give up. But just stand. Wait for Him. He knows about you. And He's coming to show you mercy. Amen? He's coming for you. You know what's a very cool thing? When Jesus comes back, everyone's going to see exactly. The eye's going to be open for a moment. You know what's going to happen? When He comes, and I just imagine a picture. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know if God just snaps His finger and judgment is done. I don't know if it's a slow process. But just imagine the whole world lining up. Everyone, rows and rows. And then comes Jesus and He makes a judgment. And let's just say everything makes sense. You know what every spirit is going to shout at that moment? Whether you are with God or not, you're going to shout, your judgment is fair. It's going to come out of you, whether you think about it or not. Some people, all of you, I just proclaim that you're going to say it with tears. You're going to say, that You saved me. Wow. It's fair because You paid. And your heart's going to beat with thankfulness. And some people with a moment of regret will say, your judgment is fair and it'll be taken away. It's going to be scary. But every unjust deed will be accounted for. And your sin, He wants to pay for in Christ. That is unfair. That's how cool that is. That's how amazing it is that God is merciful on us. Isn't this amazing? In this time, almost done, the Savior is revealed. Now the law came to increase the trespass, sin, all right? But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, sin reigned in me, grace also might reign through the righteousness leading to eternal life. Now, in this world, there's this amazing thing that can happen. And if it hasn't happened to you, I pray that it will happen soon, maybe even tonight. There's this thing that can happen in this world, and it can only happen here. It can never happen again in eternity. As life goes on, and as this world at certain times gives you a bit of an uppercut, you know, people treat you like junk, and you've been hit up and down, all right? Who's felt like that at some time? Now, just to be honest for a moment, a lot of you guys, okay? In this world, with all that sin being committed against you, you know, I've at one stage, I got very mad at them. Like, God, why does these things happen to me, and why is people so bad and stuff? And then one day, a mirror came up in front of my eyes. It was like, let's call it a spirit mirror. And I looked into it, and for the first time I saw, but that sin is also in me. And at that moment, the eyes of my heart opened and I turned to Jesus and said, Lord, I need help. I want to be Yours. And my life changed. I was born again. What I've just explained to you can only happen here and now. And this may be a time of great trials and great injustice, but let me tell you, it's a time of maybe your greatest opportunity. You can meet your Savior, and the persons on your whiteboard, they can meet Him here. and be with Him forever. It will never happen again. When He comes, it's over. It's a rough terrain we're playing on. But it's the plains of opportunity where people can come to Christ. Guys, are you with me? I'm stepping up a bit tonight. Am I losing you? I hope not. And then the last one. Pain develops warriors. Tested individuals, right? Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. It's a lot of producing going on. It's almost like Sasol. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. A lot of production, produce, poured out. You guys should understand this better than me. Through the Holy Spirit He's given us. Interesting fact, all over the Old Testament, guess who's the nation who's been beaten up the most? The Israelites. I mean, those guys, they're always between a rock and a hard place. And so they always need a Moses to get up and say, okay, sorry, I killed someone. God, please forgive me. Now I need to lead 3 million people out of this nation. And then they run into their next enemies. And then Joshua needs to rise up, and it goes on and on. So that great men can stand up in faith. Where do you find yourself? I'll tell you what. There's eyes that's on you because heaven has coordinated them in that way. And the moment you stand and stand strong, they will see Jesus. And they will never be the same because of you. Maybe you need a thick skin, you know. Maybe you must just take that remark that person is making. Just say, Lord, just help me deal with it before I punch over a brick. But Lord, just help me. But come hell or high water, I'm going to stand. Let me tell you what. People might be walking over you, but as long as they're walking over you into heaven, let them walk. It's a good way to go, okay? Oh, I'm just playing with you guys. But let me just encourage you, in times when the heat is on, it's not nice to be developed into a warrior. It's strict training and it must be tough. Know where your hiding place is. All right? Know where your place of safety is. Know where your strong tower is based that you can run into. I'll tell you what, there's times when you'll feel this thing's going to fall over, everything's going to end. If you just stick with God, you're going to do some amazing things in this world. But He needs an army of strong men and women, and that's why you are here. And guys, that's why I'm stepping it up a notch tonight. We are going to change this town. One heart at a time, or a thousand hearts at a time. I don't care. But one way or another, but we have to stand. And together we can do that. Amen. The reasons for injustice is up there. There's five of them. If you just want to recap. That's how it got here. And that's how God works with it right now. He's very aware of it. He's not pulling away when injustice is happening. He's seeing it. When sin is getting committed to those young children or to old men or in banks, when money's stolen, He sees everything. Everything, He sees it. I'll wait if I can have another son and daughter. I'll deal with that. Okay? Does it make a bit more sense, everyone? Okay? This is a hard message, but it's a truth. So far, this is what we've touched on. The reality that life is unfair. And we had those five areas that Solomon just pointed to. And then we quickly spoke about the reasons for injustice. And we're just finishing off. It's the last one. So what do I do in the meanwhile? If life is so unfair, this is one of the most asked questions in this world. What do I do now? In the meanwhile. Let me give you three things. This is going to be tough to hear. Can I give it like it is, everyone? Is it okay? Do you want a nice answer or the right one? Okay, julle drie. So net, yes. Yes. So net, I just want to say, you can face a lot of trouble because you're married to Rudy. I've got a lot of respect for you. Oh, gebrande vleis elke naweek en al. No, I'm just joking. Rudy kan braai. Just joking. Guys, the first thing you do in the meanwhile, this is going to be the toughest one. Just brace yourself. Number one. And number one. Worship and thank God for the hand you dealt, even if it seems unfair. I want to explain a temptation to you. And if the Holy Spirit opens your eyes here, you will burst out of it. The enemy will help you to destroy your life and make terrible decisions. All right, you'll name this thing. Maybe it's got to do with a person or a situation, and then you'll say, "But it's not my fault. I can do nothing about it. It's a lie." It's maybe the truth that it's not your fault. It's maybe the truth that you couldn't help. You were born into that family and there was this uncle that did this or that or that person that you killed the first. That's not your fault. But if you're going to use it as an excuse, you're going to fulfill the enemy's plan for your life. Thank God that you are still alive and that the Holy Spirit right now is here to blow wind into your sails. And you know what? You can get up. But this is the difficult part. Thank God for the hand you dealt. You just say, "Lord, I am just thankful that right now I'm out of that house." Start there, okay? And I made it alive. Thank you that it did not kill anyone. Now, Lord, I don't understand this, how everything worked together. It feels like everything worked together for my demise. But now, Lord, I'm stopping with excuses. This is what I have in my hand. You've dealt me this. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to do great for you. I'm going to do amazing things. And I know the enemy is going to present an excuse for me tomorrow. But I'm not even going to take it. I'm just going to stand. Amen? This is very tough, but you can do this. Number two, do the right thing anyways, in the meantime. You feel oppressed? You feel they're picking on you at work? Stand up for someone that's being oppressed. That's the way you deal with it. Help someone so long that's in that position that you are hating right now. You see, your biggest temptation is to look so deep inwardly that you cannot help anyone else, but your freedom is in breaking out. Father, I want to pray for that person. I know I'm going through a tough time, but I've got you. I want to be okay. But that person, just lift them up. You feel people are rude? Be kind to someone. Hug someone. Just bless them. Feel depressed? Find someone to encourage. I like this. It's one of my favorite conversations in the Bible. Some of the disciples had interesting stuff to ask Jesus. If you read, I don't know if you've noticed, but have you read that episode of the disciples running to Jesus' tomb? Someone does it late the clocky, and then John writes, and he writes how he actually beats Peter in this race to the tomb. He says, "Now the disciple who Jesus loved came at the tomb first." Now he's the disciple that Jesus loves, which he also writes about himself. All right. But then he says, "But that disciple that came there first was too scared to go into the tomb first." So he waited. It's very funny. But the same two of them, they're standing, and just before Jesus, I think before he gets crucified, I'm not sure. But they're having a conversation. It's a very interesting time. Everyone is listening. Everyone is there. And Jesus says to Peter, "You know what? They're going to kill you for your faith. They're going to drag you. And your life's going to end as you stay faithful to me." So he helps him. Creates an expectation. It's going to happen. So gear yourself. And I don't know what Peter is feeling, but he's looking at John and he asked Jesus, what about him? And then Jesus says, no, don't you worry about him, right? You follow me. You do what is right at this time. But did you see what? Just do what is right. Trust me here. Stand up. All right? Do the right thing anyway. It's very hard. That's why we have one another. Why we have small groups and stuff. And then the last one, which is very hard in our society today with everything happening fast, is wait patiently for God's reward. Are you willing? Guys, this is maturity up to the top part of it. Okay? And I don't know if I can answer yes, but this is a question he's asking. Will you be willing to withstand injustice in this world if he's only going to reward you in paradise? You see, that is the mature question that's hanging here. That's so difficult to answer. But are you with me? He's calling up warriors for himself. Worship and thank God for the hand you dealt, even if it seems unfair. Do the right thing anyway and wait patiently for God's reward. Amen? Guys, let's stand up tonight.